Hey, this is Pastor Aram, and I want to thank you for joining me today for the Activation Church podcast. We are here so that people can activate their life in Christ, and I believe this message is going to help you go further than ever before. Check it out.
So let's go to Matthew, the fifth chapter. We're going to start looking at verse 14, and this has become like a theme verse for this series where we've been talking about living life beyond Sunday. There are 168 hours in your week. Now, most people only spend around 1 to maybe 2 hours a week in a service like this, which means a lot more of your life is happening out there versus what's going on in here. And so what we do here is very important, but we want to make sure that we are not just doing church, but we are being the church, that we are filling all 168 hours of our life with our purpose, which is to be the church of Jesus Christ. And so in Matthew, the fifth chapter, verse 14, Jesus says, "You are the light of the world." Would you turn to the person next to you and say, "You are the light of the world." I hope that you personalize this today. You are the light of the world. You have a purpose. You have a place here. Jesus goes on to say, "A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house." In the same way. So in the same way that you would take a light and put it up high for all to see, Jesus says, "Let your light shine that way." How many of you have ever had the power go out at your house? And maybe you light a candle. Well, you know that you don't take that candle and put it in a closet and shut the door. You take it and you put it somewhere in the house to where it can give light to those who are living in the house. Jesus is saying, in the same way that you would put a light up high for people to see, let your light shine before others, and here's the purpose, so that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. What he's getting at is there should be something about you that draws people to him. There should be something in the way you live, you do work, you do family, that people should be able to find Christ through you. How? By being the light, not just here at church, but all 168. Somebody say all 168. But the thing about a light is a light needs fuel. I mean, you know that if you've ever tried to use a flashlight that doesn't have batteries, it doesn't go too good for you, does it? The only way a flashlight will work is if you put some batteries in it. Or if you've ever started a fire, maybe a campfire, you know that a campfire needs something to burn in order for it to give light and heat. And I don't know about you, but I like big fires. I don't like those small little fires. If I'm involved, I want to see how big and how hot I can make it. One time, Pastor Randy, I'm not an arsonist, by the way. I just feel like I need to give that caveat. But one time, Pastor Randy, who's our worship pastor, and myself, we went on a hunting excursion. And when we showed up to the campsite, there was like this little space set up for a fire. And I was like, that's not going to work for me. I mean, I'm a pretty big guy. I'm going to need a little bit bigger flame to keep me warm. And so I started spreading out the rocks, creating space, making more room, gathering wood, got this thing going, got it blazing. But the only way I could keep the fire burning was to go find more what? Wood. Why? Because the fire needs fuel to burn. And so I go into the woods and I start just grabbing everything I can find. Like if it seems dry and seems flammable, it's going in this fire. Well, what I didn't know, because it was dark in the woods, was I grabbed sticks that apparently had poison ivy on them. And thankfully, I did not get poison ivy. But the smoke from the flame did infect some of the people sitting around the fire, and they did get poison ivy. It's, you know, but the good news is everybody stayed warm, and the fire was big. And what I'm wanting you to understand is a light needs fuel. Somebody say a light needs fuel. Especially if you want to keep it going. If you want to keep that fire burning, you've got to continuously add something to it. If not, eventually it's going to go out. Or a flashlight, even if you have batteries. If you don't change those batteries from time to time, eventually the flame will, not the flame, if you have got a flashlight that throws a flame, that's cool. But that light will eventually go out. So it needs fuel. Well, when I was thinking about us being the light of the world, which Jesus says we are, I started thinking, well, there's got to be some source of fuel that keeps us burning. And so when I started thinking about what could be the fuel that causes me to burn bright, what would be the fuel to make me an effective light, I realized it was this one thing, faith. Somebody say faith. And when I talk about faith, I'm not talking about just saying I have faith in God, but I'm talking about having a faith that others can see. So it's not just having faith in God, but it's having this faith that there is a God who fills me and wants to use me to accomplish his purpose. The Bible says that it is God who works in you, both to will and do of his good pleasure. So I've got to start there with a faith of knowing that not only does God exist, but he actually wants to use someone like me to accomplish something here on this earth. And that's amazing. When you get a hold of this, man, you'll wake up in the morning with a little bit of excitement because you understand you're not here by accident. You've actually got something to accomplish. I'm not just going to work, but I'm going to work for the purpose of being a light. I'm not just raising a family, but I'm raising a family with the purpose of being a light. And God wants to use you, and your faith needs to be rooted in that. That you are exactly who he has chosen to be his vessel and his tool here on this earth. I want to show you something in James, the 5th chapter. Starting in the 17th verse, James says this, Elijah. Now, most of you, if you grew up in church, you've heard about Elijah. He was an incredible man of God that did incredible things. This is the guy who called fire down from heaven. That's huge. He didn't need a lighter. He didn't need anything. He just prayed and God responded. So he's saying this to us. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours. What is he doing? He's wanting to level the playing field. He's wanting us to understand that there was nothing different about Elijah than you. He put his pants on one leg at a time, just like you. Elijah had struggles, just like you. Elijah had pressure, just like you. But when he prayed, the Bible says, when he prayed, God stopped the rain for 3.5 years. And then when he prayed again, God turned the rain back on. Why? Because Elijah's a superhuman? Why? Because Elijah is different than us? No. He's exactly the same. He just had faith. All the people that you read about in Scripture are human beings just like you. They had struggles. They had problems. They had setbacks. They had issues. They weren't perfect people. So what's the difference between someone who is effective and someone who does nothing? Faith. But not just faith in God, a faith that there is a God who will work in me to accomplish his purpose. But that kind of faith has to be lived out. That kind of faith has to be stepped out into. Because if you don't step out into that kind of faith, nothing's going to happen in your life. Please hear what I'm saying. If you're not willing to step out, you'll never be who God has called you to be. I was thinking about the story of Peter walking on the water, and this is another one that most of us are familiar with. Every single disciple of Jesus, all 12 of them, were in the same boat that night. And as they're out in the middle of the water, they see something coming that terrifies them. Now, when we read the story, we think, like, why are they afraid? It's just Jesus. But you've got to imagine being in this space to where you're in the middle of the water, you're in a boat, it's dark, it's cloudy, there's storms going on, and the only time you can see is when the lightning flashes. Have you ever been in a storm like that where it's so dark you can't see anything, but then the lightning flashes, and just for a few seconds, like, you get a glimpse of what's going on around you? Now imagine that you're out on the water all by yourself, just you and these 11 other guys, is dark, and when the lightning flashes, you see someone standing on the water, but then it goes. You're like, oh my goodness. Like, I don't know about you, but that would freak me out. And then the lightning flashes again, and you see this thing. You don't even know exactly what it is. And then it flashes again, and everybody panics and goes, it's a ghost. And Jesus says, hold up. Don't be afraid. It's not a ghost. It's me. It's Jesus. Now, when this happens, Peter says this, Jesus, if it is you, allow me to come out on the water. And Jesus tells him, come. And as soon as Peter steps out of the boat, he starts living in the impossible. But here's what struck me about that. There's 11 other guys that had the same opportunity. Yet Peter's the only one that left that moment with an incredible story because he's the only one that stepped out in faith. See, a lot of us have desire. A lot of us have the feeling of wanting to do something great, but we never achieve it because we never step out. It's important to understand that your desire will remain dormant until you step out. Your desire will remain dormant until you activate it by faith. There's got to be something there. It's not just believing I can walk on the water. It's actually stepping out and starting to do something. It's not just believing that I'm called to be the light of the world, but it's stepping out into my world and living in a different way, believing that if I will do this, I will draw other people to Jesus. See, desire without action and faith will remain dormant and it will be useless. Doesn't matter how good your desire is. A few years back, my wife and I bought an Instapot. Anybody ever used one of those? And the reason we bought this Instapot is because we heard about all of the incredible things that this Instapot could do. Not only can it cook amazing meals for you, but it can do it in like 10 seconds. And my mom could be a spokesperson on an infomercial for the Instapot because anytime you saw her, she was always telling you how amazing her Instapot was. She'd be like, I took a whole cow, I put the cow in there, and 10 minutes later, Arm, you're not gonna believe it, I had a cooked cow, 10 minutes, whole cow. And I was like, that's pretty cool. And so she sold me on this thing, and I told Ashley we need to get an Instapot. And so Ashley does it, we get this Instapot. I'm excited about all the things that it can do. I'm excited about like cooking a whole chicken in it all at one time. But then I got up one day and I realized my Instapot hasn't done anything for me. My Instapot hasn't done all of these incredible things that I've heard about. Like all the stories that I heard about my mom's Instapot that I believed, just I haven't seen that happen in my life. There have been no whole cows laid out on the dining room table at night. And I started wondering, like, what's wrong with my Instapot? Why doesn't my Instapot work? And then I found out that our Instapot was still in the box. It is still in the box to this day. It exists, but it has not done anything because it's not been taken out and used. The reason I want to say that is because you have faith. It exists. But it's meaningless until you take it out and do something with it. See, faith demands corresponding action. It's not enough to say, I believe. There has to be a corresponding reaction. Faith without works, the Bible says, is what? Dead. It cannot do anything for you by itself. Faith only works when you step out and start working it. But once you start working it, then you're going to see incredible things happen. But can we just get practical for a moment? Because we're about to roll into a new year. And when we roll into a new year, we set New Year's resolutions and goals. How many of you, you're like pre-planners and you've already thought through like what your goals for 2025 are going to be? Not many of you, just a few of you. The reason some of you didn't raise your hand yet is you're like, I don't even have to think about it because it's going to be the same thing I wanted to do last year. You know what? We start the year with great intentions. Like, here's what I'm going to do. Here's what I'm going to accomplish. But then we roll around to the end of that year and we're like, well, it's always next year. I'll start next year. I'll become the person I want to become next year. And the reason that happens is because we have the desire, but we don't have any action. One of the things that people continuously write down on their prayer request cards moving into a new year is they will say something like this, and maybe you've said it before. This year, I want a closer relationship with God. Or they'll put it this way, like, this year, I want to draw closer to Christ. That's a great goal for everybody to have. Like, coming into this new year, I want to draw closer to God than I've ever been before. But that desire will remain dormant until it's got a corresponding action. See, you can talk about how much you want to love God and serve God, but until you do something with it, it's meaningless. So what's a corresponding action? Like, one thing, be in church. See, what you believe will be seen through how you live. If I'm saying I want to draw close to God, yet I'm not taking any time to get into the Word of God, then it doesn't matter what I say, my desire will remain dormant. If I'm saying I want to draw closer to God, but I'm not taking time to spend in the Word of God, then my desire will remain dormant. Now, that's on the spiritual level, but what about more of our physical desires? Like, I want to get in shape. You don't have to raise your hand, but I'm willing to bet there's been a lot of people in here that you say, this year is the year I'm getting in shape. The reason it hasn't worked yet is because you've got the desire, but you have no corresponding action. The only way it's going to work is you've got to come up with a plan and you've got to activate that plan in your life. You've got to determine, this is what I'm going to eat, this is how I'm going to eat, and I'm going to develop something I can eat that way for the rest of my life. This is what I'm going to do for exercise, this is where I'm going to do it, this is when I'm going to do it, and this is what I'm going to do when I get there. And then I've got to make myself do it every single day until I start seeing the results. If not, it's just the desire that's going to lay dormant. Some people are like, this year is the year I want to get a promotion at work. And we'll pray about it, and that's a great prayer to pray. God, I'm asking that you'll increase me. God, I'm asking that you'll give me this promotion. But what is the corresponding action? Are you willing to work harder than everybody else? Or do you just kind of fit in? Are you willing to get there earlier than everyone else? Stay later than everyone else? Are you willing to work with integrity? Are you willing, in other words, to do what other people are not willing to do? See, there's got to be corresponding action. There are people that say, you know what, this year I'm just believing for a financial blessing, a financial breakthrough. That's awesome. That's a great desire to have, but you have to ask yourself, what is my corresponding action? Well, I found the verse in the scripture that says, my God shall supply all of my needs according to his riches and glory through and by Jesus Christ. I found the verse in scripture that says the blessings of God are going to chase me down and overtake me. I found the verse in the Bible where it says that God will open up the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing upon me that I cannot contain. And you will quote those verses and memorize those verses and see nothing until you have a corresponding action. What's that corresponding action? I've got to get some seed in the ground. See, too many of us in our life are crying over a harvest we do not have when we have not put a seed in the ground to grow it. Why hasn't God done this for me? Have you put anything in the ground for him to do something with? The kingdom of God is all about seed and harvest. If you want a desired harvest, then you've got to add the seed to it. So there has to be a corresponding action to what I am desiring. If not, I'm not going to see anything happen in my life. Do you know the story of the woman with the issue of blood? If you grew up in church, you probably know this one. For 12 years, she's had this issue. She's sick. And nothing can fix her. She's gone to all of the doctors, and the doctors don't have the solution. They're charging her money, but there's no solution. I feel like when we go to the doctor, like, our bill should be based upon our result. That's a total different sermon, but it stinks to pay for the same thing over and over again just because they can't figure it out. There is a reason it's called a practice, but again, different sermon. And this lady, so she's broken in her body. The doctors can't help her, yet they're still charging her. So now not only is she sick, but she's also broke. That's a terrible place to be. But then she hears about this man named Jesus, and she says to herself, if I can touch the hem of his garment, I believe that I will be made whole. So what's her desire? To be made whole. What does she believe? Where is her faith at? That if I touch the hem of his garment, I will receive exactly what I am desiring. But that did nothing for her. Believing that Jesus was a healer did not heal her. Having the desire to be healed did not heal her. Believing that just touching the hem of his garment could do something didn't do anything for her. She didn't see a result until she got out of her house and started pressing through the crowd, and she finally made her way to Jesus. She stretched out her hand and touched his garment, and as soon as she touched his garment, she received what she was believing for. Why? Because there was corresponding action. And here's what's so amazing about this story. Jesus pauses in this moment and goes, whoa, somebody touched me. And the disciples were like, yeah, you're surrounded by people. I mean, imagine being in a very large crowd of people that are all trying to get near you. You're going to touch a few of them. Just walking, you're going to bump shoulders with them. And so the disciples are like, of course, somebody touched you. Don't you see? There's this huge crowd. And Jesus goes, no, 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 no. You've got to understand, somebody touched me because I felt healing virtue flow from my body. Something different happened. I'm not talking about just skin rubbing up against skin. I'm talking about somebody made a withdrawal from me. Why was that withdrawal made? Because there was faith and a corresponding action. Jesus didn't have a prayer service. Jesus didn't call her out of the crowd. Jesus didn't even know she was there until she touched him. See, your faith, when it has corresponding action, touches God. You need to know that. Faith is the only thing that reaches out and touches God that causes things to happen in your life. People will be like, no, worship touches God. Not without faith. See, worship without faith is just karaoke. If you come in here on Sunday morning and you just listen to the band play and you sing along with the lyrics on your screen and you're not believing that you are touching heaven, that you are believing that you are coming into the presence of the living God, you're not believing that when you worship, God actually shows up and starts working on your behalf, then that worship is nothing for you. It's no different than going to a concert and singing the songs. But when I operate in faith and I know that, man, when I sing to God, it gets his attention. And God steps down and he starts moving, he starts working, he starts touching people. I believe that in this time of worship, that as I open my mouth, God is going to move and start touching my life. I believe that God will do for me in a moment what I cannot do for myself in a lifetime. See, there's some faith and there's some corresponding action all happening during my worship. That's what makes it effective. You want to know what makes giving effective? Faith. The reason some people don't ever see anything in their life is because they give without faith. They're just doing it because they feel like they have to do it. They give out of obligation. But it doesn't work that way. When I give in faith, that's when God moves. When I come and say, God, I believe that you are the possessor of heaven and earth. I believe that you are the one that provides for my needs. I believe that everything that I have comes from you. And so, God, I gladly give this because I know that you will respond. Not only are you going to bless me, God, but I believe that when I give, you're going to use this to bless other people. I believe that when I give, people are going to be touched. Are you seeing what I'm saying? I've got faith, I've got corresponding action. That's when I start seeing God move. There has to be a corresponding action to your faith, and faith has to be mixed in. Somebody say, faith has to be mixed in. Faith goes beyond your current situation. This is where I want to start really dialing in on talking about being an effective light. For the past 2 weeks, we've kind of talked about what it looks like to be a light. But now I'm wanting to like really dial in on what does it look like to be an effective light? Well, my faith has to take me beyond my current situation. In other words, my faith has to be what fuels me and not my feelings. How many of you know that your feelings will lie to you? You're not always going to feel like a light. But just because you don't feel like a light doesn't mean that you are not a light. I'll be honest, when I woke up this morning, I didn't feel like preaching. I felt like going back to bed. If I could just be 100% honest with you, that's what I felt in the moment. When I woke up, I felt like, man, I'm ready to go back to sleep. Now, there are some days I wake up and I'm like, man, I'm ready to go. Not today. Today I was like, I'm ready to go back to bed. But I got up out of the bed and did what I needed to do because I believe that when I do it, God is going to move and touch hearts and lives. I'm moving beyond how I feel. I move beyond what I see going on around me and believe that my faith can move me beyond this current situation. I've always been drawn to the story of Gideon because I relate to him. Gideon felt weak. Gideon felt worthless. Gideon felt like God could use everybody but me. And because of that, he finds himself hiding in a wine press from the enemy. And God comes to Gideon and he's like, hey, get out and do something. Don't complain about the situation. Get out and do something about the situation. And Gideon's like, I can't. I don't have what it takes. And God's like, Gideon, I'm telling you, I've created you for something. Now get out there and do it. And Gideon is going back and forth with God. I'm weak, God. Not only am I weak, I'm the weakest in my clan. I don't have what it takes. And he keeps on going back and forth with God. But one day, Gideon makes up his mind. You know what? Instead of complaining about the situation that I'm in, I'm going to get out of this wine press and actually do something about it. And as soon as he stepped out in faith and started doing something, God moved and used Gideon to save a nation. Somebody who felt worthless saved a nation. Somebody who felt useless saved a nation. The reason I'm saying this to you is because sometimes you don't feel like you have what it takes. Sometimes you feel like when we're preaching sermons about being the light to the world that brings change, you're thinking, well, everybody else can do it, but not me. But I'm here to tell you, it doesn't matter who you are or what you've been through. God can use you. God desires to use you. He's just waiting for you to step out and say, I'm going to do something. I'm going to be the change that I want to see. And when you do it, that's when you start seeing things happen in your life. See, if we want to be an effective light, we can't live by our feelings. We got to live according to our faith, knowing that I am here to make a difference. And so I'm going to be the difference. I'm not just going to talk about the light of the world. I'm going to be the light of the world. That's, church, if we could ever get to this place to where we're not just coming on Sundays to hear a sermon, but we're coming to receive something that I'm going to activate, we'll see the world change very quickly. When people get serious about understanding that there's a call on my life, there's a design on my life to reach people. There's something for me to do more beyond what I am currently doing. And if I'll step into that and just start doing it with whatever I have, God will increase it and he will use me. The next thing we need to understand if we want to be an effective light is our faith has to be unwavering. This one's a very important one for us to understand. And I think the reason the church has not been as effective as it can be is because we have people that allow their faith to waver. When things are good, they're good. But when things are bad, they're bad. Remember that song, when you're up, you're up. When you're down, you're down. But when you're only halfway up, you're neither up or down. And we live in this roller coaster where, like, when things are going good, we're excited about what God's doing in our life and we're talking about the goodness of God. But when things get difficult, instead of staying in that avenue of praise and celebration, we slip into this avenue of complaining. The problem is people notice how we live when we say we belong to God. See, we can't just tell people that Jesus loves them. They've got to see the love of God through us. We can't just say that God is merciful. They've got to experience the mercy of God through us. We can't just say that God can take you from where you are to somewhere better. They've got to see God take us from where we are to somewhere better. They've got to find some hope through how we live in difficult situations. See, if I don't have peace in the midst of the storm, how can I tell someone, hey, there's peace for you in the midst of your storm? Doesn't matter what I say, people are going to see how I'm living. But when they see me responding differently than the world, that's when I stand out. Because even when life is difficult, my faith remains that God is good and he will take me through this situation to where I need to be. That's what people notice. Miss Chris, I've noticed a lot about who God is in you by watching you walk through some of the difficult things that you've had to walk through this year. Not because you've said, I trust God, but I've seen you stand and actually trust God. Not just because you say, I have faith, I've actually seen you exhibit faith. And I could go around the room and say that about so many other people sitting in here. I've seen Christ in you because of how you have lived through controversial times. You didn't give up. You didn't back down. You kept on moving forward. You did not lose your hope. And you found peace and joy and strength in him. And God has brought you through to the other side. There's an amazing story about Paul and Silas being locked up in prison. They are there because of their desire to preach the gospel. You would think you do something good, good things are always going to happen. But how many of you know life doesn't always work that way? Sometimes you do something good and you get the opposite response. And it's not because God's not good. It's because there is an enemy that wants to destroy you. And so they're out there, they're preaching the gospel, and they wind up in prison. And their jail wasn't like jail today. They didn't have HBO and yard time. They're in these filthy dungeons. If it's cold, it's cold. If it's hot, it's hot. Muggy, smelly, stinky, surrounded by other prisoners. And the Bible says around the midnight hour, they started worshiping and praising God. And I can imagine this scene in my mind. Because if we read the narrative, we all get this picture in our mind of Paul and Silas start praising, and immediately the people in the jail are like, yeah! But it's midnight. They're probably going, shut up! Why are you singing? Can't you see where we are? Can't you see the situation that we are in? There's nothing to sing about. Shut up so we can get some sleep. But Paul and Silas kept on singing. Why? Because they had hope against hope. They had peace in the middle of crisis. They had joy in the midst of controversy. And so they kept on singing. They kept on worshiping. Why? Because their faith was not moved by what they were going through. And as a result, God shows up. Because that's what happens when we praise. You need to know that. When you praise, God shows up. And your faith needs to be set to that. When I praise, God shows up. God's going to step into this and do for me what I cannot do for myself. And so they're praising, they're worshiping. God shows up. He shakes the jail and the chains fall off. But here's what is so amazing about this. It's not the miracle of the chains falling off. And that's what we always preach. Because praise will take the chains off. What's so amazing about this is the people in jail gave their life to Christ. Even the person who was guarding them gave his life to Christ. And a church was planted in that region because people were faithful in a difficult season. They were willing to shine bright in the midst of extreme darkness. See, we can change our world, but our faith has to be constant. We can change our world, but we've got to be the type of person that says, I'm going to do it no matter what anyone else does. See, I'm not changing so that I can change you. I'm changing because I need to be changed, and I believe that if I will change, God will use me to change you. Sometimes we get in this whole idea like, well, I'll do this when they do this. It doesn't work that way. I've got to determine that I will be the light no matter what anyone else does. Because people are drawn to that. I saw a story on, I think it was Instagram this week, with the girl from Full House, Candace Cameron, I think is her name. And she was talking about when she first got saved, she was telling her husband about Jesus, and he wanted nothing to do with it. As a matter of fact, he basically told her to back off, stop pushing this stuff on me. And maybe you've experienced that before. Like maybe you've tried to present Christ to someone that you love, and they're like, hey, back off. It may be okay for you, but that's not my thing. And so she was torn. What do I do? Do I keep on pushing? Do I keep on pressing? Do I keep on doing this? What do I do? And as she was praying, she went to this passage of scripture where the Bible talks about how a godly wife should be. And so instead of praying for God to change him, she started praying, God, change me. Help me to become who you've called me to be. Help me to be the wife that you've called me to be. No matter what he does, no matter how he responds, I'm going to be who you've called me to be. And something in the way she lived changed his life, and he gave his life to Christ. There's power in how you live. There's power in the light that shines through you. I want to pray for you this morning. And I'm going to ask that everyone would just bow their head and close their eyes. And my prayer is that we would become effective lights. My prayer is that we would understand there is more to this life than what we are currently doing, and that through everything that we do, the light of Christ should shine. When I'm parenting, the life and light of Christ should shine. The way I do marriage should be a reflection of who Christ is to me. The way I give should be a reflection of who Christ is to me. See, every area of my life. God doesn't want a compartment of your life. He wants your entire life.
Well, thank you so much for joining us again today for our Activation Church podcast. I hope this message has been an inspiration to you. Listen, take time to rate our podcast. It helps us get the message out. Also, I don't know if you know this, but we've got a great YouTube channel with amazing resources. It's Activation Church. So go there, subscribe, and watch our content. Have a great week, and we'll see you next time.